This is Keeping It Real with Terry and Sonny. And we're sure glad that you watching us, tuning in again for another episode. And today we're going to be talking about, or the title is, Who Am I in Christ? Bob has a lot to say about that. Who am I in Christ? We're going to start off with our memory verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And it says, if anyone in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And let's look at some of these key words in the scripture. First of all, it says, if anyone. Anyone is everyone. It's everybody, right?
Right.
It means it's everybody. Everybody is a title, or it's that, well, everybody, what's the right word? Everybody
fits into that title.
Fits in that. I mean, everybody's got that chance. So everybody.
Exactly.
No, God don't overlook nobody, okay? And the key thing is to be in Christ. And when that happens, you become a new creation. And our old self is gone. You know, and then we have and the new one comes, okay? You wanna share on that?
You know, when we first get saved and everything, we give our heart to God, mm-hmm. and people start looking at you like you're weird. Mm-hmm. Like who in the heck that is? I don't know that guy. And because they consider you a weird person because you literally just like you said, you're really a different person. Right. You start acting different, you start doing things different. The people don't even recognize you no more. You didn't say they something's wrong with you, you know.
Right.
Mama used to say this a long time ago. Some of y'all might have heard this and some of y'all might not have heard. Never read the Bible all the way through. Because you read the Bible all the way through, you're gonna go crazy.
I heard that.
You know what I'm saying? That was an old saying they used to say, you go crazy. Well, the thing about it was, the reason why you go crazy is because you would change completely to a different person that they wouldn't recognize. You ain't crazy. You got on fire for God. You know what I mean?
I mean, the saying, I don't know, the saying back at my time, my generation was, your holy roller.
Exactly.
Or your Jesus freak and things like that.
Yeah.
You know? I said, well, praise God. I'm going to be the best Jesus freak I can
exactly,
be.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's how much God changed me. If I got to be crazy, I'm going to be crazy for God.
Exactly.
You know? But yeah, because I mean, yeah. You know, people back at that time actually said, they don't want to know you no more, man. And
no,
your family says, well, we don't want nothing to do with you no more. You know?
Yeah.
That's a shame, you know? But yeah. But I want to bring up two words in Greek. The word new, there's two meanings of the Greek word in the Bible with the word new. The first one, now I'm going to try to pronounce these Greek words now, I'm going to put the words down at the bottom of the screen for y'all to read it. I'm trying not to butcher it, okay? The first word I want to bring up, it's new, and one of the words that means new in the Bible is Neos.
Neos. Neos.
Oh, you okay? Say
Neos.
Good. That's the way you say it, okay? I'm glad you knew it. Good. That one, Bob, it refers to something that has just been made, but there are already many other things like it. So in other words, I guess a good example would be like you had Adam and Eve,
right.
You know? But after Adam and Eve, you know, everybody is created. But it's all the same, all kind of like the same. You know what I mean? If a boy baby's born, then another one's born, well, it's the same thing. So
right.
It's new, but it's the same thing, right?
Right.
And then, you know, I don't know if you had any examples you can think of.
Adam, remember we talked about a couple of weeks ago about Adam's sin, many were made unrighteous.
Yeah.
But by Jesus' righteousness, many were made righteousness. And
right.
That's what you talk. That's
right.
Kind of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because Adam sinned, many were sinners.
Right.
And but because Jesus' righteousness, many became righteous.
Right. Okay. You might know this one. You might be saying better. All right. Now this is the other Greek word in the new. This is what the verse I just talked about. 2 Corinthians 5:17 when it says new, this is the one it means. All right. And I'm gonna see if I can say it right. It's Cana.
Kenos.
Oh man, I messed that one up. Okay, all right. Well, I'm glad he knows. I'm gonna let him start reading when I get to it. Okay, but it means something that's just made with the same. Let me start over. Something just made, which is unlike anything else existed, and that's the new. It's in that scripture. Mean that when you born again or you accept Christ in, and we're talking about who you are in Christ, you are a new creation. And that scripture talks about you are new, you're a new creation. And that's what that word means in there, is that he makes you new. It didn't exist before. We had our old nature, right?
Right.
But when you're born again, you get that new nature, you know, or you know, God created that, you know, right?
Exactly, exactly, exactly. And, you know, my whole thing about it is, depending on, you know, there's a scripture in the Bible, and it says, Jesus asked the disciples, who do you say I am? Right. And he said, who do you say I am? And he said, well, he asked, who did they say I am? And some said, oh, well, some say that you're John the Baptist, mm-hmm. reincarnated. Some say you're Elijah. Some right. say you're a great prophet. And then he asked the disciples, well, who do you say I am? And they all kind of looked around, kind of paused, and they didn't really want to answer the answer because they didn't remember, some of them didn't have the divine revelation of it. Peter went out and Pilate said, you're the Christ. You're the one and everything. And you see, the thing about it is, when we get saved, according to how we see Jesus and who Jesus is how we're going to be changed in our lives. You know, if we just see Jesus as another person and everything somebody tells us about Jesus, we're not going to get that true transformation like we right. would need, you know, and everything. Because right. we don't see him as a savior. I look at it and I think about this. This is where I see Jesus. I look, you know, the Catholics have one part right. They have the little cross they wrap around their neck and everything. But the problem is they put Jesus on their cross. And that's why I disagree. I agree with the cross thing. I believe we should carry our cross daily. But the thing about it is, I believe that should be us on that cross. Because you see, the thing about it is, we messed up, we committed the sins, and we do it daily. Like we didn't talk about anything. Right, right. We messed up daily. Right. So we have to be constantly crucifying our flesh daily. And the way I look at it is, the guy that Jesus died on the cross, but that should have been me.
Right. Yeah.
That should have been me. I deserved that death. What happened to him was what I deserved.
Right.
And because I see it that way, I see that it should have been me, not him, because he didn't deserve it. He didn't do nothing wrong.
Right.
But I'm the one who did the wrong. But the Bible says that no greater love than a man had than to lay down his life for his friend.
Right.
And it showed how much Jesus loved me. Jesus loved me so much that he gave his life for me. And so now, when you ask me who Jesus is to me, well, Jesus is the one to die for me. He gave his life. That should have been me up there. I should have been the one that should have been on that cross. I should have been there on that cross. I deserved all the penalties. I deserved all the beating. I deserved everything. That was all me. I should have been there. That should have been me. And because I see that like that, I love him a lot. You know what I mean? Because I know what I deserve. And when you love him a lot, then your transformation is a true transformation. And you become, you know, because you'll see some people when they get saved, and it's like nothing changes. They're the same person.
Yeah.
They're still the old, same, wicked, angry person and everything. And I'm asking, did you accept Jesus? When you accept Jesus? And you're watching that on TV, and you're doing that? I'm like, my God, brother, you don't know him. You don't know who he is. And you get, sometimes they get a true transformation at the beginning of their lives and everything, but somehow the other sin creeps back in. Or people start putting laws on them, you know, and regulations on them, and start trying to make them live under the law, and they get so bound up, like we talked about in the message, they get so bound up where they can't live the life of being in love with somebody. You know when you're in love with somebody, and you're passionately in love with somebody else, you don't have time for too much junk.
Right.
Because you're focused on your relationship with your spouse or your relationship with that person and everything. And the same way with Jesus. When we get the true transformation of who Jesus is, in order for us to get the true transformation in ourselves, we got to have a true revelation of who Jesus is.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
The Bible talks about you transformed by the renewing your mind.
Exactly.
Christ is in us. And he wants to be developed in us. Till Christ be formed in us. So we have to get to the word.
Right, that's right. Praise God. You know, that's why a lot of these religions, that, you know, especially the ones that that don't, you know, they don't have Christ, okay? They're trying to save you through some person or some prophet.
Right.
They would say, they would try to make you look at Jesus like, well, he was a good man. He was
right.
A prophet, a good, you know. And if you look at him that way, you're going to miss it. I don't think you'll get saved because you're looking at him a different way. You're not looking at him the way you see him. You know?
Right, right.
And I see him that way, too. When I got saved, I was looking. I had a big painting of Jesus on the cross, down on the cross, you know, and big painting, beautiful painting. It was for my sister-in-law, you know, and they let us use it. So, but anyway, the whole time they were trying to win me to the Lord with scriptures. So, you know, I was looking at that painting, and that's what I saw. Eventually, what convinced me was that I saw that, you know, I should have been on that cross. You know, he took my place, in other words. You know?
Exactly.
You know. And then, because of course they were telling scriptures that line up with all that. So it clicked, and I surrendered all, and I just asked, that's what I need, Jesus. And then, you know, like, and it changed, my life changed right there. That split moment, second, boom, it changed.
Right.
You know, but that's how I saw him. Before that, I never saw him like that. So yeah. So.
And you fall in love with him, you know. And you know, a good representation of it is in the Bible. They had 12 disciples. Okay. 12 disciples that followed Jesus, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But out of the 12, they had the three that was the inner ones, you know, the one, James, John, and Peter, you know?
Right.
And they were the three kind of inner ones, you know, the one that kind of Jesus was kind of closer to and everything and talked to Jesus more, and you hear, you know, kind of. But inside of that circle, they had another one, and that was John.
Mm-hmm.
And John actually the only one that I believe that actually caught the true revelation of who Jesus was. Because John refers to himself as the one that Jesus loved, the beloved disciple.
Right.
I'm the one that Jesus loved. I don't think he was meaning that Jesus loved him more.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I think he was meaning that I realized that Jesus loved me,
right.
And I love Jesus. Because you can see in his action, he was the one that was laying his head on Jesus' bosom, and the thing. So he actually fell in love with Jesus. And you know, and that's what God wants us to do.
Right, right.
And if we can, in order to be that new creation in Christ, we have to fall in love with Jesus. But the thing about it is, in order to fall in love with Jesus, you see this thing right here, this Bible right here. You gotta smell the Bible. It's like when you fall in love with your wife, you want to smell her hair. You smell the Bible. You gotta eat the Bible. You gotta get down and eat the words inside. Put it all up inside of you. You got to sleep with it. You got to hold it. You got to love this thing. Because this is the word of God.
Amen.
This is what he gave to us. And if you want to know about him, everything you want to know about him is in here. If you read the Old Testament, it all tells about what he's going to do when he's going to come. You read the New Testament, it all tells about what he did. You read the Gospels, it all tells about him talking himself. Yeah, it's a whole lot. It's a whole book. Yeah. They're just talking about him,
right.
And getting to, and that's your perfect starting way to get to know him.
Right. You know, it really all, like, you know, you were talking about this a second ago, but it really, it's all, the most important thing is love.
Exactly.
You know? Because the two greatest commandments is that we love God and we love others.
Exactly.
You get those two down and you live that kind of life, then hey, then you find out that the, so some people get the mystery of life, I guess, you know.
Exactly. It's love. Exactly.
It's love. You know, now, of course, to actually do that, is, you know, you can say it, but to actually do it, this is where you come in where you need the word, you need God, you need
exactly.
to be saved. You need that. You need God's love in you flowing out of you. So you need the word of God. You need to be saved. You need to get in it. Because, you know, Christ, the minute you get born, Christ, well, really the Holy Spirit, he comes in you, okay, all right? But you still got to know God. You know?
Exactly, exactly.
You know? You got the indwelling of God, you know, the Holy Spirit. But you have to fill in, like we talked last week.
You know? I was watching this guy I was doing on another podcast and everything, and this guy was in prison for 25 years, and actually I think he was supposed to stay for life, but he wound up getting out after 25 years,
mm-hmm.
and everything, and he gave his testimony. You know, he said you can be in jail and be a prisoner.
Yeah.
But he said, but you can be in jail and be free.
Be free, yeah.
And he said, and the way he got free is through the only way you can be free is
right.
through Jesus.
Right.
And everything. And this man was a hardened criminal, but he realized that God set him free. You know, the thing about it was my whole paradigm thing about the whole thing is I read the Bible, and you can see the Pharisees knew that Jesus was coming. Because they even asked John the Baptist, he said, "Are you the Christ?"
Right.
So they were looking, they knew Jesus was coming.
Yes.
They knew the Messiah, their time in the Messiah was near. Because Jesus wasn't even on the scene yet.
Yep.
And they asked him, "Are you the Messiah?" They knew him, but they missed their visitation. They had the chance. And they got there because Jesus didn't fit into their paradigm and what they expected him to do and the way they expected him to act, they missed everything he had for him. You know, because a lot of times, this is what happens. When people become new creations and new people and they get saved and they give their heart to God and they start loving Jesus and everything, they don't act like some of the church people think they should act. And the first thing that they want to do is the first thing you need to do, now you're in love with Jesus, you need to stop doing all these sins and let me name every one of the sins that you're doing. And you're doing this, you're doing this, and you're doing that, you're doing this, and you're doing that. And let me tell you something. You want to turn somebody off to Jesus? Start pointing out all their sins.
Right.
That's going to turn them off. Because they're going to be like, man, if that's the case, I can never be good enough for God.
Right.
And the truth about it is you can't be good enough for God. Right. The reason why God writes it in the Word, everything that you shouldn't do, is because he wants to tell you himself.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need people to tell us to stop sinning. All we need to do is people to tell us is to read the Bible.
That's right.
And when we read the Bible, we're going to know to stop sinning.
Right, right. Yeah.
No, exactly. I'm not saying to keep sinning.
No.
I'm saying that we don't need people to tell us not to sin.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because God's going to tell us not to sin.
Yeah, because you could take a group of people and put them at a table, like maybe 12 people or whatever, at a big table. And then each one of them, you know, let's talk about sin. You know, every other one of them is like you say, they're more likely going to point out, well, this brother does this, this, and this.
Exactly.
Jesus walks in that room, you know what's going to happen? He said, "Wait, fellas. Let's look at your sins. Each one of you look at your own sin."
Exactly.
That's what you should be worried about.
Exactly.
Not your neighbor's sin. Worry about your own sin.
Exactly. Jesus even said that. He said, "Don't worry about the little splinter in your brother's eye." He said, "Worry about the beam in your own eye."
That's right.
And then when I give another example. When the woman was caught in the very act of adultery. Now, when she was doing something she should have been doing, and they caught her doing it. And they threw it in front of Jesus, and they said, "Right here, we got her in the very act." They said, "Give the word, and we'll just stone her. We got it right here in our hand. We're going to stone her," and everything. They were ready to go. They all had the stone there. They fired up, all right up. And Jesus looked it down. He didn't say nothing at all. And then he said, "Give the word, Master. Give the word. We'll stone her right now." And Jesus looked down. He said, "He was without sin. Let him cast the first stone." You know, a lot of times I see that in my walk, crush more new Christians, baby Christians, because they'll come to church, they'll get on fire for God, they'll start loving God, and they're on fire for God, they're raising their hand, worshiping every service, they're on love for God, and then you'll have somebody in the church, some old bitter person in the church will come up to them and walk up to them and start convicting them about a sin that they're wrestling with. And they'll make them feel like they can't come to church no more. Because they'll make them feel like, you know what? Oh, but before you can come back to church, you need to get this out of your life. And then that's not what the scripture says. Jesus says, come as you are. And we squash these people like this. And that's something as a body we got to stop doing. We got to start loving the people. Jesus is called to make disciples out of people. And we look how Jesus made disciples. You know, I was watching the Chosen movie the other day. And I don't know if y'all watch it online, but if y'all watch it, y'all haven't watched it, y'all need to watch it. It's really good. And in there, now whether, the guy said, it's a movie, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not it actually happened or not is not the point. The point about it is Mary Magdalene in the movie kind of fell back and everything. If you didn't watch it yet, guys, I'm sorry for the spoiler. Okay, but she kind of backslid, and the disciples went and find her. And when the disciples went and find her, she told him, "He fixed me once, but I broke again."
And
it kind of really broke my heart, because the thing about it was, I do that too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He fixed me, but I break again.
Yeah.
I break again. And not only do I break again, but I break over and over and over and over and over.
Right.
And the thing about it is, and when he said this, when he went before her, he said, "I don't ask for much. I just ask for your heart. I just want your heart." He said, "That's all I want. I want is your heart." Amen. He said, "And the rest will come." Yes. In other words, in time, as you read the word and study the word, no amount of condemnation is going to make nobody change no faster.
Amen.
What makes people change is reading and the washing of the word, what we talked about, the renewing of the mind, with the word, letting the word wash you and clean you and everything. People condemning you and making you feel bad about who you are, that's not going to make you a better Christian. And everything, but when you become that new creation, and I tell you what, it is the most awesome feeling. It's like when I don't know about you, when you first got saved, it was like everything was just lifted off of me. Mm-hmm. Like I had all these weights on me.
Yep.
I had all these weights on me, and they were there, and all of a sudden they were just gone.
Mm-hmm.
I was free.
Yeah, it was gone. The same thing with me. It was lifted, and I had the peace and the love of God. I mean, I felt that, you know. When somebody's going to really love you and really, really love you, you want to love them back.
Exactly.
You know, and that's the way it was. That's how Christ, when you let him in, that's how he is.
The people I was working with, you thought I went crazy, bro.
Come on.
I mean, the light was on me, man. I was in darkness.
Right.
Right. Make them feel guilty.
Right.
Yeah.
So, talking about, you know, God will fix you, and he'll, if it takes, he's going to keep fixing you. I mean, you take, when you were saying that, I had a picture of a vase, glass vase, very pretty vase. All of a sudden, it falls on the cement floor, shatters into million pieces. You know what? It looks bad, right? You know, but God will bring that all back together and put it all back together, and it's going to look better than new, you know?
Exactly.
You know? And then you could go the next day, it could get cracked. You could crack it. Well, I could patch that up too. I mean, so it don't matter where you at. You can be a million pieces. God will put you back together. Or you could just be maybe a crack. Or you could have a little nick. Well, God will take care of that.
Exactly. Know? I think that's why God was a carpenter. Yeah. I really think that's why Jesus came as a carpenter. You know what I'm saying? He didn't come as a shepherd.
Yeah.
He didn't come as a plumber.
Right.
He came as a carpenter because carpenters fix things. That's what they do. And God's always fixing our heart and everything. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it is, all he wants you to do is he wants you to love him. He wants your heart. He wants you to love him. You know, everything else, it'll come in time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you start where you're at. It'll come. And, you know, and you know, we all make mistakes. You know, like we said in the last message, do we all sin? We all sin. Don't let it. You know, I tell the people all the time. I was talking to the guy the other day, and he was in church, and he was loving God and everything. But he started smoking dope back. And I felt bad for him and everything, but he felt like he couldn't come to church no more because he was still smoking drugs and everything. I said, "Brother, look," I said, you can still come to church even though you do drugs." Mm-hmm. I said, "Look, don't let the enemy keep you out of church because you're doing that." So I said, "Look, if you got to come to church and still be doing drugs, come.
Right.
And Jesus will wash you up.
Right.
Jesus will clean you up. When you start getting that word in you and you start feeling the presence of God and everything, it's just gonna get washed away. You know, because when I got saved, I'm going to tell you how it happened. When I got saved, I used to drink, and I used to love drinking, joy drinking alcohol and everything. But you know what? Ain't nobody had to tell me to stop drinking alcohol. Nobody had to point it out in the word and list every scripture on saying you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't do this. I was just like, one day, I woke up, and I looked in the cabinet because I was looking for some pots. And I was trying to find a pot, and I found like 40 bottles of whiskey in the cabinet. And I had forgotten they were there. And I'm like, and you know, now I was at a time, and I realize now that I was actually at a road of temptation where I could have walked and got back into it.
Yeah.
But at the time, I didn't even think about it. That didn't even dawn on my mind. You know, when I looked at them bottles, I said, I don't need this no more. And I just got rid of them. I just started throwing them all away, one after another. I just started throwing them away. My neighbor looked at me. Man, you getting rid of all that? He said, "Well," he said, "can I have it?" I said, "Well, do what you want, whatever you want." I said, "I don't care. I don't need it no more."
Yeah, right.
And he got all excited, and I feel sorry for him. I probably shouldn't have threw it away. I probably should have threw it down the drains there,
because
I think I kept him drunk for about a month. You know what I'm saying? With all that whiskey, I got rid of.
Yeah, mine was. I used to cuss a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, didn't think nothing of it. You know, and I judge. I mean, I say judge, but I criticize. Always, you know, criticize everybody, you know, because, but those things, like you said, those things, it's gone. I mean, that's the second I accepted Christ, it's gone. And never said another cuss word, didn't want to say a cuss word. And I me putting everybody down and griping and complaining, that went away too.
Yeah, he who the Son sets free is free indeed, bro.
Exactly.
I never went back to none of the stuff.
That's right.
The devil tempted me many times to rebuke yourself.
Right. Right, and you know, it's when you become a new creation, like Terry was saying, that's the newness we're talking about.
Right, right.
That's the transformation in your life, you know, and everything. Mm-hmm. And when you get that true transformation, you're not the same person.
Right.
That like you said earlier, you're a completely new person. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it is, if somebody that knew me, they wouldn't recognize me and everything from my old past, because they said, you're not the same. That's not the same guy I used to know and everything. Even my own mom said, "Boy, she knew me and everything." And the other day I got her a piece for her mailbox, because her mailbox was leaning like this on the side all the time, and every time I go over there, so I got her a piece to fix the mailbox, and so she could put her mailbox straight and everything, where her mailbox was staying instead of leaning all the time. And I went up to her and I said, I got you over the piece. I said, "Hey, Mom, I got you a piece for the mailbox." And I just threw a joke to her. And she asked me, "Where you got it at?" I said, "Oh, I knocked down somebody's mailbox and I took it off and I took off running with it." My mama looked at it. "I wouldn't put it past you," she said. "I wouldn't put it past you." Because she knew the type of person I was before, you know, and everything,
you know what I'm saying?
Right. And when I was a sinner, because there wasn't nothing for me to break something and steal something like that. It didn't bother me, because that's the type of guy I was. But now she knows she knew better, you know, because she knows I'm saved and everything. She was joking with me and everything. But when we become that new creation in Christ, people don't recognize you. You are a new person. And like we were saying at the beginning, is some people think you're going crazy and everything. But I think the two big focuses is about the thing is becoming a new creation. When you become a new creation, you know, my thing is, don't feel bad. You're still going to have some stuff God's going to have to work on. Even though you're a new creation in Christ, you're still going to have things that need to be fixed in you. And look, older Christians, people that's been saved a long time, give time for God to work in their life. We should partner with people and help people to become better.
Right.
Become better. Because we called to make disciples.
Amen.
And we should make people better. You shouldn't be there pointing out, "You're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong, you're doing that wrong." Because that doesn't help nobody at all.
No. You know, that we talked about the love. And, you know, when you're showing love, you're going to get a response. Okay. And with God, God pours his love out. And it draws, that the love draws you. Okay. You know? Everything we do will help draw people to God, you know, and then that love brings them in, but they have to, like you say, they need to do it. They need to become a disciple, a follower of Christ, and really get everything poured into them, because that same love, God loves you and he don't want you to go astray. So he's going to do what he's got to do to try to keep you on the path.
Right.
You know, and it could get hard, you know,
right.
But that's the same love that brought you in.
Right.
You know?
And actually, the things that are sin and you're doing wrong, mm-hmm. that's going to be your testimony.
Amen.
That's going to be the thing that you're going to be able to help other people through.
True.
Yeah, one thing about Jesus, when he comes into your mind, your heart, or whatever he does, he's there for eternity.
Amen.
Exactly.
He's the one who produces the fruit of the lips.
That's it.
If you allow him.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
Right, amen. Right.
It's eternity. God and everything with God is eternal. It's forever. So, and we just have, all we're going to do is go through death. And we'll be right there, forever.
Exactly. When you fall, you know, you fall in love, and that's the best thing you can do, and everything. Mm-hmm. And I really believe, you know, he says he's a light unto our path. Mm-hmm. In other words, even though you're gonna walk through the darkness, he's still gonna be there with you, mm-hmm. and he's always gonna be there with you. And when you go through things, you know, but you gotta get to a point where you get in such love with Jesus.
Amen.
You know. I was reading a little story. I'm not going to go too long on it, but I was listening to this, and they were talking about Adam, how Adam walked with God, mm-hmm. and Adam walked with God. And after Adam walking with God, he didn't die. It actually took him 900-something years to die after walking with God, because he had so much life in him, mm-hmm. and everything. And then Elijah, Enoch walked with God. He was close with God. And I believe that if God wouldn't have took him, Enoch had so much life in him, mm-hmm. that no telling how long he would have lived and everything. Right. And then Moses walked with God. And when he walked with God, the Bible says God took him. There's not actually no proof that Moses ever even died. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We believe him to have died and everything. Right. But he actually lived there his whole life, and he said his natural force didn't even go obey. In other words, he didn't go. His eyes didn't go dim. He was strong as he was when he was young and everything. So when we get closer to Christ, we get filled with life. Man, we get life. Our personalities change. Our attitude change. We not only get filled with life, but we want to give out life.
Right.
And we're not spitting out all this putrid. Seeing and things and pointing out, you know, the one thing the scripture says, the enemy is the accuser of the brother. He's the accuser of the brother. It doesn't say Jesus is the accuser of the brother. No. So when we're accusing people of things, who are we operating in? Are we operating like Jesus? Jesus was forgiving and loving and kind. Mm-hmm. He said he ate with the sinners. He did, now he didn't, I'm not saying he condoned sin, because actually he said plenty of times, go and sin no more. He just tell him, go and sin no more. That was all he did. But he didn't nag him about it. Terry, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't even remember anywhere where he even calls out somebody in sin, except for the Pharisees. Mm-hmm. He called them out because they didn't want to change.
Yeah.
But the people that were changing and trying to get better, I don't see nowhere where he calls them out.
No. I don't even think he even called them when he got angry, but it's a good anger, you know.
Right.
When he took the whip and flipped all the tables off, you know. Even then, I don't think he really came down. He was talking about everybody, you know,
right
in there because what they were doing. But I mean, I don't even think he came down on them. When he had the whip.
Right. He was mad. He was mad. He was flipping the tables over and throwing.
Remember,
things
I just
around.
Said the sauce. Ooh, Jesus got mad.
Yeah,
he got that whip.
I think he did that to show us it's all right to get mad sometimes, but don't sin, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
And everything. But Jesus always loved. Always loved his people. He always loved the disciples. He always loved. And that's what he wants back from us. He wants that love back from us. He wants us to give that love back to him and everything.
Yeah.
So,
because, you know, in this world now, they got so much hate and so much evil. And all this bad stuff happens because of lack of love.
Exactly.
For your fellow man, you know?
Exactly.
You know? So I want to say one more scripture before we end. When we are in Christ, we are partakers of the divine nature. You know, and if you look in 2 Peter 1:4, I'm going to read it. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promise that enable us to share his divine nature and escape this world of corruption. Caused by human desire.
Come on. Yeah. And I think that's what we've been talking mm-hmm. about the whole time and everything. Amen. Is that right there? How we become like Christ. And in order to become like Christ, you're going to act like him. And that's when you're going to have love.
Amen.
You're going to have love for people. You're going to have love for your neighbors. You're going to see people and you're going to see people that are doing things wrong. And you're not going to want to call them out. You're going to want to love them.
Right.
And that's what Jesus wanted to do. Jesus wanted to love them. He wanted to love him, and he wanted to love him in. And like Matthew was the horrible, rotten sinner and everything. Nobody wanted to even hang around with Matthew. They didn't even want him to come eat by his house.
Right.
So Matthew, he looks at Matthew, is your house far from here?
Mm-hmm.
So well, I'm going to go eat by your house. You can't come eat by nobody else's house. Well, I'm going to eat by your house.
Got another example in the Bible of how Jesus loved. And he couldn't overlook it because it's in the Word. But, I mean, the 12 disciples, he loved all of them, but there was one that became a traitor.
Right.
You know? And he still loved them.
Yeah.
You know?
This is my opinion, guys, so I'm just saying that. I think maybe even Judas could have repented for what he did. If he would have repented, the outcome could have been different. Now, but he didn't, because it doesn't show nowhere in the scriptures that he repented and everything. But I think he might have been able to repent, you know what I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
because... I don't know, but I just believe he could repent it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And everything for what he did.
You know, if you as a parent, if you take the love you have for your child, you know, you got parents that are a parent, they love their child so much, you know. Well, God's love for you is what?
A billion times
better than that. You know what I mean? Because God, you know, that's where the love comes from. And you're going to have love for anybody. That's where it really comes from God. You know?
Right.
God is love. You know?
Right. Exactly. So the question was, who am I in Christ?
Right.
And who you are in Christ, you should be love. Mm-hmm. You should be loving yourself, and you should be loving others.
Right.
And you should be loving Christ.
Right.
And when you become love, then you become like Christ. Because
mm-hmm.
everywhere you look, you operate in love.
Yeah.
If you got compassion, you got mercy,
right.
you got grace,
right.
you got understanding, you know, you feel sorry for people, you want to help people, you want to do things for people
Man.
And everything. That's who
right.
who we should be in Christ.
Right.
We should be loving.
And love forgives a multitude of sin, right?
Exactly,
right.
exactly.
You know?
Right. So one thing about love too, is the Bible talking about love your wife as God loves the church.
True.
He loves us so much.
Yeah,
he died for us.
Yeah, right. Because, you know, because actually the scripture said that we're the bride of Christ.
Right.
And think about it. If you got a healthy relationship with your wife, how much you love your wife. And if you loved her that much, Christ loves you that much, plus more.
Right.
You know what I mean? Everything. And we should love Christ like that.
Right.
We should be not only loving Christ loving us, but we should be have that same love. Well, how much we love our spouses, we should love Christ even 1,000 times more. Because he is the special one.
Amen.
He's the one that died for you.
That's
he's
right.
gave it everything up for you and everything. So, as always, really thank y'all for coming in every day. You know, and it means a lot to us, you know. And, you know, we want to pray for you like we normally do and every week because it means so much to us to be able to spend this time with you. And it's not something we take lightly at all because as we were talking about, we have love in our heart for all of you out there. We love every one of you that's watching these videos and the ones that's going to be watching these videos years from now. You know, we love y'all too because God loved us and he gave everything us because we wasn't the best of peoples in our lives. We made a lot of mistakes and we're still making mistakes, unfortunately. And, you know, sometimes we feel really bad when we make these mistakes because it's like, he loved me so much, and I'm still doing this stupid stuff. Why am I doing this? And you might feel like that. You might feel like I was saying earlier about, he fixed me and I'm broken again. You might feel like that. And all I got to tell you is, it's easy. Just say, I'm sorry. That's all you got to do. Say, God, I'm sorry. I did it again. I didn't mean to do it. I'm sorry. Help me to be a better me. That's all I ask, God, is you to help me to be a better me. And you ask him that, he'll make you a better you. You know what I mean? And don't look at others condescending. Don't be looking at everybody else trying to point out their faults, trying to feel like you're the Holy Spirit and things like that. We don't have to do that. If you feel that somebody's in error or wrong, just tell me, just say, man, you know what you want? I got some scriptures. You want to read the Bible with me today and everything? And we can get together and do a little Bible study or something. You know, there's a lot of ways to tell people about Jesus without condemning them and everything.
Amen.
So we want to pray in our closing prayer. So let's pray for you like we always do. So Father God, we just thank you for every person out there, Lord God. We ask that you help them develop a loving relationship with you, a relationship that passes all understanding, Lord God, a relationship that helps them to get through hard times. And God, I ask that you forgive them of their sins, Lord God. When they mess up, Lord God, that you would give them forgiveness, Lord God, and let them not fall from grace, Lord God, and not let them never fall from the love, Lord God, but let them feel that love. Even as I'm speaking right now, as I'm talking on the camera, as they're watching this, your presence and your love is just falling on them right now. I really pray right now. I see somebody out there as we're praying for you right now that you're feeling the presence of God falling in the room with you. You're sitting in a chair, and as you're sitting in that chair, you can just feel the Holy Spirit just dropping on you. That's the presence of God falling on you right now, showing you his love. So I just thank you, Lord God, that for you doing that for them, Lord God, and do it for others too. And Father God, we just thank you for each and every person out there. Keep them safe until we see them again next week. In Jesus' name we pray. And remember, guys, if you haven't been catching this on Spotify, we are also on Spotify too. And the messages are more broken up, so it's easy to listen to. You can catch it while you're listening, while driving in your car and everything. and just listen to it while you're on the way back and forth to work. And it's like, keep it real with Terry and Sonny. So
amen.
Thank y'all, man. We appreciate y'all coming.
Amen.